Lots of texts coming in on the discussion involving Richmond, Saskatchewan. I can say, generally speaking, people are saying, do not let them back in that school. Find a way. Those people that are in there trying to determine what the safety issues are, find a way to condemn the building. Don't let them back in the school. Don't let them back in the community. Generally, I've summed up a number of texts that have come in, but really it's been, you know, lots of people identifying the harassment that has been happening in that community, the intimidation, the pleas for help we've heard from community members, including the mayor of Richmond, who on many different occasions has spoken with politicians, has spoken with law enforcement. And we had the RCMP Superintendent Murray Chamberlain on this program about a month ago talking about the efforts that they've done over the years, the monitoring that they've done in places where charges could be laid. They did. However, it wasn't enough to remove them from the community. Will this be enough? Yet to be determined, but we will continue to bring you information on that as it unfolds. So this is a good example of a story that I'm looking forward to chatting with you about, but I'm really wanting to hear from you, especially if you have experience with the temporary foreign worker program. So yesterday we saw Pierre Poilievre hold a news conference calling on the federal government for an immediate stop to issuing temporary foreign worker permits. They want an end to what they're calling a wage-suppressing, opportunity-stealing program. So the basis of what we heard from the Conservative leader yesterday was the temporary foreign worker program is, in many parts of Canada, taking jobs away from Canadians. Canadians who are looking for jobs are finding it tough because this program incentivizes employers to hire temporary foreign workers in many cases at a reduced wage. It's all part of a program. So if you look at the federal data shows that Canada had a target to admit 82,000 new arrivals through the temporary foreign worker program last year. So 82,000 people. In the grand scheme of things, not a huge number. And by the way, this is separate from the immigration discussion. The immigration discussion and the need to lower the immigration numbers in our country, which I am 100% in agreement with, we need to turn the tap off. And more Canadian surveys are showing a large majority of Canadian people think that way, including, by the way, including people that are new Canadians. People that have immigrated to Canada in the last 5, 10, 15 years are saying enough. We need to slow it down because housing can't keep up. Healthcare can't keep up. The cost of living is rising in Canada. So there's been a variety of ways, tests that have been done, some by economists, some by pollsters, to show the temperature in Canada has reached a point where people are saying enough. We have to slow down immigration. Immigration is necessary. It's part of a growing country, and we know that we need it. So this isn't the immigration talk. This is the temporary foreign worker program. Now, I have talked, in fact, I talked with a couple of business owners about a week ago. They run, husband and wife, they run about, I think, 13 or 14 businesses. And many of them are, you know, like a coffee shop type of business, but they're a variety, and they're in communities all over the province. And they talked about the challenge that they're having. And this is where I'm looking to hear from you. The challenge they're having with filling positions. Staffing is the number one complicating factor in their industry. And what they're saying is that it's tough to hire people, local people, people that are born and raised in Canada that want to work some of those entry-level jobs. I also have talked to people that work in the healthcare industry and work in the ag industry to say the temporary foreign worker program it's a supplement to their complement of labor, their complement of people that work for them. This is one of those things where I feel like I'm on the outside looking in. I don't have experience in hiring. I don't have to staff a restaurant, a business. But if you do, I would love to hear from you. Should we be stopping the temporary foreign worker permits? Should we end this program completely in the country? 1-877-332-8255. I would love to hear your thought, your take on this, because there are a number of people, especially in agriculture across Canada, that rely on this. Now, if you will know, Pierre Poilievre said that this doesn't mean that you completely pull away when it comes to providing supplements to the labor market in agriculture. You set up a new program. It's agriculture specific. But he's talking about, Pierre Poilievre is talking about trying to find a way to incentivize employers to hire Canadians, to hire people that are living in Canada, from Canada, obviously helping with unemployment and those types of things. 1-877-332-8255. I've got a number of texts that are coming in. I would love to know your thoughts. Should we be getting rid of the temporary foreign worker program? Does it just need to be dialed back? Or does it have its place and it should stay? Your thoughts when we come back. 650 CKOM, 980 CJME. Sunny, but a windy Thursday. Evan Bray, great to have you here. We're talking about Canada's temporary foreign worker program. Pierre Poilievre, leader of the Conservatives, yesterday calling for an immediate stop. Stop issuing new temporary foreign worker permits. And he called it a wage-suppressing, opportunity-stealing program. Stealing opportunities predominantly from young Canadians who are looking for work, looking for employment. We know that unemployment numbers are high among young Canadians, upwards of 14%, actually, in parts of the country. And so those jobs that young Canadians could be applying for and working at are being taken by temporary foreign workers. That's the concept of what the Conservatives laid out yesterday. They would like to see something come into place to replace this program, the temporary foreign worker program, specifically geared to the ag industry, because they recognize that it has some place there. So I'm throwing this out to you. I don't have experience with it, but I have talked with many people who have. Some people love it. Some people say it is very complicated and tough to be part of. Others will say it's ruining the workforce. 1-877-332-8255. Lots of texts coming in. I want to start on the phone line, Derek in Warman. Thanks for calling in, Derek. What do you think? Should we be ending this temporary foreign worker program?
Hey, thanks, Evan. Yeah. I feel really strongly that this is a bad bill from the Conservatives. And I am a Conservative through and through. If you look at this thing kind of holistically, what you're doing within Canada is you're taking the best of another country, the best demographic. Okay, like I think out of the program, about 75% of the demographic are 20 to 40 year old males. Now they're coming into the country, they're paying full tax on income tax, but they suck very little off of social assistance. They don't have kids entering the school system. They don't have grandparents that are you know, needing more hospital time in social assisted living, like these types of things. So it is a challenge, specifically in Saskatchewan, and I'm involved in agriculture, to find employees that are willing to do the jobs. So this program for us has been huge in just being able to get in more remote Saskatchewan, being able to get people in. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand why they think that this is a bad program. Like, I would agree with the refugees, and I would agree with immigration.
Right.
You know, maybe it's time to slow that down. But this program solves huge problems, you know, specifically in Saskatchewan for agricultural businesses.
And so I just want to circle back to something you just said quickly, Derek, because I have heard this from other employers, and you can't blanket all industries, but I have heard it is very tough to find, whether it's young Canadians or just young people that are interested in stepping into certain workforces. So you cancel the temporary foreign worker program. It's not as simple as saying, okay, the doors are open, come and work here. People aren't applying.
That's right. That's right.
Well,
it's a huge challenge.
Yeah. This is exactly the type of perspective I appreciate because I don't have experience on it. So, Derek, I appreciate you calling in and sharing your thoughts. 1-877-332-8255. Many people feel the temporary foreign worker program causes problems because wages are subsidized. People are pointing out, especially fast food type of establishments are encouraged to hire only temporary foreign workers. Now, I've seen that text on the text line from a couple of different people. I don't know if that's the case. I can't say that they're encouraged to hire. Maybe they're incentivized if there is some sort of a wage subsidy. But again, I am hearing from some people that the applications just aren't flowing in. So the 18-year-old male, female looking for a job isn't applying to many of the fast food restaurants, for example, that are looking to hire. 1-877-332-8255. If you've got some experience with this, good or bad, I would love to hear because that's part of understanding where things are at here. Let's go to Nick in Saskatoon. Nick, your thoughts on this program?
Hey, Evan. So several years ago, I worked in the trades, took an apprenticeship, and I worked with a guy from Bosnia. So at the time, I believe you were allowed to hire laborers for 6 months before you had to indenture them. Well, this guy kept failing his, I think, written English exam for his citizenship. So because he wasn't a citizen, he couldn't be indentured as an apprentice. So 2 years later, he had all the experience of a second-year apprentice, but they didn't have to pay him as much. Mm-hmm. So that's just one example. I think a lot of employers in Saskatchewan love to take advantage of immigrants. And all these comments about they can't find people, well, pay appropriately and you'll have more resumes coming in.
Appreciate the context there. Part of it could be obviously following the rules. I've seen a couple of texts saying rules are bent once we have temporary foreign workers here. Deadlines are missed. Rules are bent. Again, and I said this earlier, this is different and aside from the immigration discussion, because I've seen a few people on the text line saying we have to reduce immigration. Agreed. Completely agree. We need to make adjustments. The feds are saying that they are, whether that comes to fruition or not. I don't know if their numbers are showing that. But don't forget, Canada's latest immigration levels aim to reduce the number of temporary foreign workers from 6.5% of Canada's population to less than 5% by 2026. Whether we get there or not, I think on the immigration front, the whole student loophole is a big part of the problem. Foreign students coming to Canada and then being allowed to stay here for a couple of years, family members coming over, that is a separate and aside loophole of this. But the temporary foreign worker program, is it working? Is it not? What do you think? Let's go to Chris in Craven. Chris, thanks so much for calling in. Have you got any experience with the temporary foreign worker program?
Oh, I definitely do.
So what are your thoughts?
I'm in the trucking industry, and that is one industry that has a huge amount of temporary foreign workers. I firmly do not believe in the temporary foreign worker program. It should be abolished. It should be taken out. 90% of them can't even speak English. They can't even read the signs. They are a safety hazard. They are a danger to the traffic that goes on out on the highways. It's amazing. I've been in the business for 30 years. I have seen so many wrecks and experienced so many situations where I have seen near-death situations that they don't belong out here. They just don't. The whole program should be scrapped.
So is there not, Chris? I mean, I'm assuming that there are some sort of standards that need to be met. So are there some companies negating following those standards and other basically causing this jeopardy on the roadway?
No, there are not. That's the problem. They're in the U.S., for example. Okay, they've implemented a standard that you must be able to read and speak English to drive a vehicle. They pulled what they call CDLs, commercial driver's licenses, from people left, right, and center. To this day, we do not have such an implementation up here in Canada. Mm-hmm. And I think we should have
we need that.
People are getting killed and property is being destroyed simply because they cannot meet the standard in the trucking industry.
Can I ask you another quick question, Chris? I'm curious because what we hear from some people, and we've even had callers and texters to the show that have said, if we didn't have the temporary foreign worker program, we wouldn't be able to get enough employees. Is that the case, or has that been your experience, or are there an abundance of people out there that are looking for work?
Oh, there is an abundance of people that are looking for work, but the problem is that proper training, proper funding, and proper pay. Those are the three critical things that are needed to get people to work, especially the younger people, okay? The biggest problem is that people are expecting the younger generation to, or telling the younger generation, pardon me, to expect to get a $30 an hour job walking out of high school.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
Mm.
It just doesn't happen. I, myself, I've been in the industry for well over 30 years, okay? I wasn't expecting a $30 an hour job when I first got out of high school, but yet the high schools are teaching these kids that.
Mm-hmm.
That is where the problem is. They're being taught to expect $30 an hour jobs when that is not going to happen.
There's clearly, I mean, there's so many different facets to this and lots to unpack. We've talked about the wages the need to have wages high enough that you're going to attract the talent. But the other side of that is obviously businesses need to be able to keep afloat, and with so many other input costs, they try and keep labor costs competitive, but obviously at an appropriate level as well. So, Chris, thank you for your perspective. Thanks for calling in on this topic. Let's take another break. We'll come back. I'm happy to hear more of your thoughts on the temporary foreign worker program. Pierre Poilievre says scrap it. Sounds like the Prime Minister is saying, not yet, we're going to ratchet it down, we're going to slow it down a bit, but we are not going to scrap it. So I'm happy to hear more of your thoughts on that. Also, the story that we're following, Saskatoon Police Service announcing yesterday dismissed three members of the service. Not a lot of details on what happened. It was an off-duty incident. Do things like this shake your confidence in the police, or do they instill confidence that the police are holding their members accountable, holding them to a high standard, and keep that public trust and confidence? I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that as well. We'll take a break. We'll be back with Open Lines here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Evan Bray, great to have you here on this Thursday morning. It was yesterday that we found out the Saskatoon Police Service had fired three police officers, two of them officially yesterday, one of them a couple of weeks back, one more junior officer, two senior, I believe two males, one female in that mix. And this is relating to an off-duty incident. The challenge is we don't know a ton of details. There's been some information that has been leaked, but not corroborated by the police service. Chief Cam McBride fairly tight-lipped on details behind it, just basically saying that he had lost confidence in the competence or the suitability of the police officers. Section 60 of the Saskatchewan Police Act is what gives a chief the authority to fire police officers for either incompetence or unsuitability. Incompetence usually comes with some sort of remedial efforts to make the person competent. So if it's a work performance issue that the member is being fired for, the chief would have to be able to show, despite prior remedial efforts, we haven't been able to get this officer to this level and we are letting them go. Unsuitability, of course, is something different, and it means that the officer has done something that brings into question their suitability to be a police officer, that would shake the public's confidence in that officer. And I ask the question, when we have something like this, because it's not that common, but when we have something like this with police officers being fired, does it shake your confidence in policing, or does it solidify to you that the police will weed out the bad actors and keep the police at that level that they need to be at? Tammy in Saskatoon with the text saying, the lack of transparency and details about what happened is what shakes my faith in law enforcement. We need details so that we know that, do we agree? Should these officers have been let go, or do we not agree? And that completely is the problem here. Like you, I don't factually know all the details. I've heard all of these rumors that there was a party and things got off hand and assault happened. I also have heard the rumors that there was some sort of a, whether it was a biker or organized crime, someone there that police shouldn't be hanging out with was at that party. But again, the police service has not come out and corroborated any of that. So at this point, we hear these officers have been fired. The police chief, after the investigation was done, doesn't feel that they are suitable to remain as police officers. They have the ability to appeal this. Police Act gives them the ability under Section 61. This is the interesting part, though. If this goes to an appeal, it goes in front of a hearing officer, it is a completely public hearing. So if this goes to a hearing officer, and I've had my experiences through my time in policing where we have dismissed officers and they have appealed, it's gone to a hearing officer. In some cases, the officers stayed off, were ordered to remain basically fired from the service. In other cases, they got their job back. But in all cases, it becomes a public hearing. So the public then gets an idea of, okay, well, here's the details of what happened. And then you're in your mind, you can reconcile, was this the right decision? Should they be fired? We have Chief Cam McBride joining us on Tuesday of next week. So, of course, this will be one of a few things that we will chat with him about as well. Thanks to all of you who texted in on the temporary foreign worker. I got one here from Dave out of Saskatoon, said he's been in the trucking industry for over 40 years. Driver training new drivers in the company that he works with. He says that foreign drivers' language skill and training is a problem. However, without them, there would be a driver shortage. So we need better, more thorough training and language skills is necessary, but we also need temporary foreign workers to be able to fill the vacancies in the trucking industry. Just another ongoing piece of the dialogue with temporary foreign workers. I'm sure we have not had the last of this discussion. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.